Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, because of sin in the life of every human being, there is a constant rebellion that goes on. Even in the saint, there is a rebellion that goes on against the rule of the true and living God. For the believer, it's something that we must put off daily as we submit to the teaching of God's Word, as we submit to the rulership of Jesus Christ, His Lordship. We demonstrate by repenting of our sins every single moment of every single day. That is the life of the Christian. It's a life of repentance. But because of sin in the heart and the pride that is in the heart of man, man wants to throw off all rulership over him. He wants to go his own way. He wants to do his own thing. He wants to be his own God. He wants to determine for himself what's right and what's wrong. He wants to do what's right in his own eyes. And because of that, there is all kinds of problems that you have with the institutions that the Lord has established for peace within this world. Think about for a moment with regards to the governing authority. Now, Paul said in Romans 13 that there is no authority apart from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. They're ordained by God. God has established them to bring peace within society. And yet man, because of the sin, rises up and rebels against the authority. Think about for a moment how so many people in our country hate the law enforcement officers. Why is that? You get out on the highway and you want to drive how you want to drive, where you want to drive, and when you want to drive. We want to do our own thing. We want to put the hammer down and say, you know, if I want to go 80, I'll go 80. And I don't want anybody telling me that there's a limit on how fast I can go. And when the man pulls you over and gives you a speeding ticket, we want him to be in the wrong. We want it to be his fault. What is that, beloved? That's sin that is still in the heart. It is sin for us to not obey the speed signs that are given. It's sin because the governing authorities that are instituted by God have put them in place for the good of society. But we all know better and we all want to instruct them anyway. We don't want to hear it when we get pulled over for speeding violation or anything else. It's not our fault. This goes on with all the institutions with regards to authority. Authority is despised in our culture. With regards to law enforcement, with regards to the president, with regards to the governor, with regards to anyone that has particular authority, you can bring it into the church. The authority, again, is despised. Why? Because it's rulership, isn't it? But nevertheless, it's what God has ordained in the life of the church. We have the same problem that goes on in the home. The husband is the head of the wife, and the wife is called by God to bring herself up under the headship of her husband. She is to submit to him as unto the Lord, and the husband is to love his wife, even as Christ loves the church. And there we have contention again, don't we? Because the wife does not want to have the husband ruling over her. And that's what it's even said in the book of Genesis. Your desire will be for your husband, but he shall rule over you. And the desire is for the woman to rule over him. And then it becomes a competition, and then it becomes nothing but heartache that goes on within the home life. Children are learning then from their parents how to interact with one another, and it causes disaster, doesn't it, with regards to relationships. And everything that you see with regards to authority, there is this constant rebellion that wells up even in the heart. Think about you children. You children are instructed to be obedient to your parents in the Lord. And Paul says in Ephesians 6, where this is right. This is the right thing because God says it's right. That your days might be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's right. It's the right thing for you to do to submit to your parents. Our catechism says that it's God's will to govern you by their hand. God governs you by the hand of your parents. And when you rise up against your parents, You are ultimately rising up against the rule and authority of God. So there's that work that constantly needs to be done in the life of every individual, every Christian, every believer, everyone who is blood bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is that heart issue to submit to the authority which God has given for the glory of God. Oftentimes things and bills come out that we don't like. Okay, work for change. But don't stomp your hands and your feet and say, I'm not going to do that. Beloved, I've seen that. I've seen that when it comes to even synod meetings. We gather together as ministers and elders, and a decision is made. And how we make decisions in the church is simply this. The majority wins the vote on these particular these issues. So we have a certain thing that comes up in the church, and we vote, and it was close enough that they had a division of the house, that men are then standing up and voicing their vote. Stand up if you voted yes. Sit down. Stand up if you voted no. And the votes are counted. And the win, the vote that wins, the majority vote, the others are then to walk in submission to it. Not to say, well, I'm not going to do that in my congregation. It's to submit and then work for change. We need to learn this particular lesson with regards to authority. This is what the writer of the Hebrews is teaching us this morning. Now, let's look at these two verses, Hebrews 13, verse 7 and verse 17. And notice the instruction that is given to us with regards to those who are in authority over us. There's a lot of stuff in here in these two verses that deal with us, how we then live our lives and how we then look at those who have the rule over us. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews says in verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you. I just stop right there for a moment. The first thing that the writer of the Hebrews is calling us to do is to remember. The scriptures are full of those types of words. Remember. Call it to your mind. And this is what remembrance is. It's calling it to your mind. We are to be a people that call things to our mind. Jesus said, remember the word that I have spoken to you. Jude says the same thing. Remember the words that were spoken to you by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. They were to remember the particular sacraments, the sacrifices. They were to remember the particular gatherings of the people of God. They were to remember the word of God. Remember us, the Apostle Paul said, with regards to prayer. Remember the people of God. So things that we are to call to remembrance, we're to bring them up again and again. And that's how they get burned into the memory, isn't it? By recalling them again and again and again. And if you don't recall the things, they slip in the background, and then you have a difficult time remembering these particular things. And so we are to call these things to remembrance. What is it that the writer of the Hebrews is calling the people of God, these Hebrew Christians, in this particular writing to them, but by extension to us who are the children of God? He calls us, notice, to remember those who rule over you. Remember those who rule over you. I think he's in reference here to those who had past rule over you. He goes on to say that, doesn't he? Who have spoken the word of God to you. But you're to remember them. What is it that you are to remember about those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you? You remember those and what they have taught you. You remember that they spoke God's word to you. They instructed you in the truth. And that's the most important thing, is that they instructed you in the truth. Now, I know today we have this personality thing that goes on within the churches. We have the cult of personality. Everybody's concerned about the personalities, not whether or not the man is faithfully bringing you the word of God. Look, we all differ. You all differ. You don't all like the same food. You don't all like the same music. You don't like the same entertainment. Well, so it is with those who speak the Word of God to you. We're not little cookie cutter fashion. Everybody's the same. We have different personalities, different likes, dislikes, just like you do. The important thing is whether or not the man who is called to rule in the congregation speaks the Word of God to you. That's the important thing. And you're to remember what they taught you. Now, in Sunday school this morning, you remember as I brought up the analogy from Pastor Kingswood about the tongue being the dipstick of the heart. There was a teaching. I always learned when I was with him. I always learned things from him, and so did you. Now remember what he taught you. Now remember when you're facing particular things, the Word of God that he spoke to you. Remember is what the writer of the Hebrews is saying here. How often we forget. You see, one of the problems I think that we have when it comes to the cult of personality is that we're more interested in the man and his eloquence in the pulpit or this, that, and the other thing than we are of what the Word of God is teaching us. And we become more concerned about these trivial things rather than the primary things that God is speaking to us through the Word. Do you recognize that this morning? That this is God's Word to you? The Lord is addressing you this morning through His Word by the ministry of the Holy Spirit through a fallible, sinful messenger. Nevertheless, the Lord is communicating truth to your soul. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize this is the Lord's message? It's not my message to you. I didn't come up with this stuff. This is what God says in His Word. And therefore, at any moment where you begin hardening your heart against a particular teaching of Scripture, you have a problem. You have a major problem. Because that hardening is not against the minister, per se. It's against God Himself. And this is the issue of the sinful, prideful heart, isn't it? That we want to be our own God. That we don't want to remember what was told us. It's important that we do remember. They have the rule over. To rule over has been that which is given by the Lord to have a particular authority in the church. Paul said the authority of the minister and the elder is not for destruction, but for edification. It's to edify you, it's to lead you, it's to guide you, instruct you. It's to keep you within the bounds, that narrow road that leads to life. That's why we have confessions. It keeps you fenced in from straying from the truth. There is a rule in the church that is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Christ has given particular officers in the church. We live in the day of the ordinary pastor and teacher, not the extraordinary signs and wonders and prophets and apostles, but the ordinary with the pastor and the teacher. And Christ has given officers in the church, the elders in the church, to have the spiritual rule in a congregation that you choose your leaders. Do you notice that? It's Christ who gives the offices, but you are the congregation, the body, that elects these particular men to that office to have the spiritual rule over you. We're electing our own leaders. Now, we moan and we groan about the leaders that we elect in the White House. It shouldn't be that way, beloved, when we elect in the church, even in the White House. Because the Scriptures themselves gives us the outline. It gives us the paradigm of how we choose those who rule in the church. And those that rule in the church, Acts chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1, they are to be particular men that stand out in the congregation. Men full of faith, men filled with the Holy Spirit, men of wisdom, men that walk according to the truth. These are the men that you elect. And you elect them to rule in the midst of the body, so that they might be wise and discerning to lead and to guide and to direct and to comfort and to protect the people of God with the Word of God. When by default you begin to elect men to office by looking through the church directory and say, well, he never served before, you have stepped out of the realm of biblical, what the scriptures outline with regards to requirements. It's not whether a man has served before or not. It's a matter of whether or not he has the qualifications to serve. You are to look among you for those particular men. And then they come forward and they are ordained and installed into that work. So they have a rule. It's a real rule in the church. It's a spiritual rule, but it's a real rule. And it's a real ruling because Christ has instituted it. He has ordained it. So to try to overthrow the rule of the eldership is to walk in sin against Christ. Notice also there is responsibility given there in verse 7 with regards to the elders and the pastors is to speak the word of God. Who have spoken the word of God. Therefore, you elders, you are biblically mandated with a spiritual rule with the word. Not apart from the word, with the word. It's not your good intentions or your good advice or what you think. And therefore, your counseling must be that with the word. You must come with God's word to minister to the souls of God's people. You must rule in the church as those who have the spiritual rule with the Word. Therefore, you need to know the Word. You need to understand the Word. Paul even said to Titus, you need to know the Word in such that you can put down the gainsayers. Those that are constantly fighting against the Christian faith. You need to know and to be prepared to instruct the people of God for the glory of God and for their spiritual growth and good. Remember those who rule over you. Who's spoken the word of God to you. Whose faith follow. You have something here again, a remembering. And you also have a following. That you call to follow those who spoke the word of God to you. That's reminiscent of Hebrews 11. And you think about all those in the hall of faith there. Who had their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who were trusting and waiting for a better resurrection, and would not deny Him even unto the death, whose faith followed. There is, and many of you have seen this, there is a picture that I have of Pastor Kingswood that has, there's a banner that it says, Rejoice in the Lord. I mean, that kind of summarized that man's life. Rejoice in the Lord. I made a mention of one time to him when we were on a radio program that one thing that I appreciated about him the most. Now, I appreciate a lot of other things with him. I never had so much fun with anybody with regards to a man and having fun and joking and laughing. He was the go-to guy for that. But one thing I learned from him. That he was always pushing me to Jesus. Now, many of you, you know what I'm talking about. It didn't matter where he was or what he was doing. He was always getting to Jesus. And being around him, I mean, that was my desire too. But I had never seen it so strongly in a man besides Daryl Kingswood. He was always getting you to Jesus. And I loved that about him. And I learned something about being around him, about pushing people to Jesus, leading people to Jesus, guiding people to Jesus. You see, beloved, that's where your hope is. That's where your comfort is. That's where our consolation is. That's where our reconciliation is. He is our hope, our joy, our crown, our rejoicing, our forgiveness, our grace, our mercy. He is our all in all. And as the writer of the Hebrews even says in chapter 2, we become weary and discouraged when we look away from Jesus. So keep your eyes upon Him. And that's what the minister of the gospel and the elders are called to do. Push them to Jesus.
Turn them to Jesus. Lead them to Jesus. Shepherd them to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Our hymn says that. More about Jesus would I know. More of His saving mercy show. More about Jesus. That's what we need. Whose faith follow? They walk by faith. They walk in the truth. And no matter what kind of event, what situation, what circumstance, it always was a go-to Jesus. Our God is sovereign. My God reigns and rules no matter what the situation. Why panic? I'm scheduled to go on vacation this week. And we are flying out of Omaha. Well, we got weather coming now, right? So as I told Maria, if we go, we go. If we don't, we don't. It's the way it is. This is the trip that I was going to take last year. But as you know, last year at this time, we were doing a funeral for Daryl Kingsley. The Lord rules. The Lord providentially guides and instructs and directs His people. And there's no sense having a temper tantrum when we don't get our way. Now, weren't you taught that by your pastor? Didn't he teach you that? Didn't he instruct you in that way? Didn't he model that in his life? Well, the writer of the Hebrews says, whose faith follow? Follow the way he lived. Follow that instruction that he gave. Because he spoke the word of God to you. Considering the outcome of their conduct. The outcome of that conduct, beloved, is life evermore. It's walking in godliness. It's walking in the truth. The end of that, as the writer is saying there, considering, rolling it around, and it's this word here is something that calls us to look deeply and intently into it. It's not a mere glance. Considering is an up-close view. It's an examination. It's looking into a matter that the end of this life is everlasting life. The end result of godliness. The end result of the truth. The end result of looking unto Jesus is everlasting life. Is life evermore. And this is what the writer is saying right here. Remember, follow, and consider. Keep on remembering. Keep on following. And keep on considering what this man brought to you. He's speaking here of the past. And not just Pastor Kingswood. You had Maynard Kerner. You had George Horner. You had other ministers who spoke the word of God and the truth to you. Remember what they taught you. Now, we come to verse 17. And now it's speaking in a present tense now, not speaking of those who once were your pastor, but now those who rule in the church of God presently. And this is what he says, obey those who rule over you. Simple instruction, isn't it? Obey those who rule over. Why? Because they rule with the word of God. They instruct through the truth of Jesus Christ. So obey them that rule over you. So you elect particular men for an office, and you elect them to do a particular work in the church. And that particular work is not what you say it is, it's what Scripture says it is. And the congregation is to make sure that you elect men who fulfill the biblical qualifications that you might have peace and joy in the church. Now, some of you have heard me say this before. It's worth repeating. If you elect goofballs in the congregation, those goofballs will elect goofballs. And believe me, I've seen it. I've seen ministering on a consistory full of goofballs. Guys that don't know the Constitution, they don't know the confessions of the church, they don't know the Word of God. How can they have the rule over you? How can they spiritually rule for your good? It's an impossibility. They are to be those that bring the word, bring the book, instruct from the word. And they don't know it themselves, and they're ruling. They're the ruling body in the church. That's only heartache. It's only problems. That's how serious it is to elect godly rulers. Men who know the truth, who love the truth, who submit to Jesus Christ themselves. Beloved, the man who preaches the word is a man who is under the authority of the word himself. I'm not saying this is what the Bible tells you to do, and I'm exempt from that. I am one under the authority of Scripture. I am one bowing my neck to the yoke of Jesus Christ. I am in submission to this word. And so the writer says, obey them. All these verbs are present tense. Continual, habitual action in the life of the people of God. Continually keep on obeying those who rule over you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're undiscerning. That doesn't mean that you don't compare what's being said by the truth of God's word. But if there is something that is contradictory with what someone says or what someone does who has the rulership of the church, there is a right and proper way to come to them. There is a right and proper way to deal with it. And so, in humility, you come. You come not arrogantly. You come not boastfully. You come not as if you can't make a mistake. But you come simply asking the question, trying to resolve this issue. Maybe the individual doesn't understand. Maybe I don't understand something. I don't understand a lot of things. But if I don't understand, there's a way you come to me and the way that you ask about something that I've said. Be submissive. Now, if you women have a problem with that, you don't know the half of it with regards to your husband. This submission issue, beloved, is an issue of people. Sinful people who hate the fact that someone has the rule over them. Do you ever pour a new driveway and you put a rope around it, say, keep off the cement? A day later you go out and you see handprints that are in there, somebody's name scribed on there. We hate that. You know, you walk by, California is classic, isn't it? And the city would come in and pour new cement, and you'd see bicycle tracks going through that new cement. You know, keep off of the grass. Keep off of the cement. Don't touch it. And it wells up within our heart. You can't tell me to stay off that. I had one time some kids that were replacing a door in a church building. And the carpenter came in and he told me, he says, I'm going to replace this door. Well, I was in a catechism class at the time. And he says, the caulking around the door frame is going to be wet. So he says, just make sure you tell the kids so they don't stick their fingers in there. Well, I mean, he told me that. I didn't know what to do. Because I knew as soon as I told them, they'd go out there and poke their fingers in it. Right? Because that's in the heart. And it starts from conception. It starts in the womb. Sinners go astray from the womb. It starts there. And we break forth. And we're like little vipers biting and spitting poison everywhere. Doing and wanting to do our own thing. It needs to be controlled. We need to be brought to self-control. And only the Spirit and the Word of God can do that. So for those who are wondering, I did tell them. Because I figured as I waited out, if I didn't tell him and they did it, then he would say, well, why didn't you tell him? So I told him, don't put your fingers in there. Well, I had four classes at the time. What do you think I found on the cement wall when I went out there after the last class? Little fingerprints wiping off that caulking. It's in our souls. But not for the Christian. You're to repent of that. You're to confess that to the Lord. And you're to repent of it. And you're to teach your children how to walk into submission to those who rule over you. You're to teach them in the classroom. You are to teach them, even as the catechism does in the fifth commandment, with regards to all those who have authority over you. If you're in the classroom as a child, you have a teacher who has authority over you. And it doesn't come by chance, and you are to submit to that authority. If you are pulled over by a police officer, you have one who has the rule over you, and you are to submit to his authority. Whether he asks for your driver's license, whether he asks for your insurance card, whatever he asks for with regards to your infraction, you are in submission, and you are to be respectful, even as unto the Lord, who ordained this authority. And parents, if you're not teaching your children, they're not going to learn. It's going to be perpetuated, isn't it? If you're grumbling and complaining against the pastor and the elders and the law enforcement and the teachers, then what do you think your children are going to do? Be submissive. Submit yourself. It's a military term. Bring yourself up under the rank of those whom you've elected to have the spiritual rule over you. Do it for the glory of God. Do it for your soul's sake. Notice what he says. They watch out for your souls. Again, let me address the elders. This is the calling. You have a spiritual responsibility to watch over the souls of the people. And you watch over the souls of the people with listening to what they say, watching what they do, and then bringing the book. Instructing them with the Word of God. That's how we deal with the people of God. That's how we watch over their souls. We have a vigilance over the people of God. Our ears need to be attuned to the things the people of God are saying. I listen to the radio stations that you listen to. So I know what's being taught. So I can watch over your souls. So you don't have a crisis of faith one day when you go through the dark night of the soul because you haven't been instructed correctly because you're listening to things on the radio that are not consistent with the teaching of Scripture or the confessions of the church. We need to watch. We need to care for the souls of the people. We are those that are going to give an account to the Lord. That's what he says here. As those who must give an account. You stand before the Lord and give an account of the sheep that he has entrusted to your care. That's a heavy calling. And if I faithfully administered the Word of God to your soul, if I brought you to Jesus, if I pointed you to him, if I've shepherded you with that crook, that staff, and pulled you to Jesus Christ continually, well, then I'm not real concerned about giving an account for your souls. Even as was told to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 34, he was called to be a watchman on the wall. And if you don't warn the people, and you know the truth, and you see what they're doing and how they're living, and you don't warn them of the truth, their blood I will require on your head, says the Lord. But if you've warned them, if you've taught them, if you've instructed them, and they continue in that particular way, their blood is on their own head. There is an accountability. There is responsibility. We're responsible for the souls of the people. To nourish them. To feed them. Peter said, when he was dialoguing with Jesus, about his sin against the Lord, and the Lord restored him, and the Lord said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "You know, I like you a lot, Lord." "Well, if you do, then feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know, I like you a lot." That's what he actually said. "I phileo you. I like you a lot. I love you with all my being. I just sinned against you." "Well, if you do, then you tend my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. If you want to demonstrate love to the Lord as an office bearer in the church of Jesus Christ, feed the flock of God with the Word. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 5. Feed the flock of God, which the Lord has entrusted into your care. Shepherd them, steward them, lead them to Jesus. Parents, even as you are called to lead the little ones to Christ, even so, in the church, the elders, the pastor, are called to lead the people of God to Jesus Christ. Now, lastly, notice what he says. Let them do that with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable to you. I've had to deal with a lot of that. I've had a lot of joy in the work of... Let me say it like this. The most joyful times that I've had as a Christian have been while a minister of the gospel. And the greatest heartaches that I have had as a Christian while being a minister of the gospel. When the writer of the Hebrews says, let him do so with joy. Let it be a joy in the heart of the elder, the pastor, as they minister the word of God to you. That the people are not rebelling against the teaching of Scripture. That the people are submitting themselves to God's word. That the people want to hear about Jesus. That they want to sing about Jesus. That they want to gather together for worship of Jesus. That they want to come to Bible studies to hear about Jesus. That they want to have fellowship with one another about Jesus. Well, that's a joy to the heart of the pastor and the elders of the church. But those who rebel against that rule, who rebel against the word, who seem like they're running away from the things of the church, that's a difficult situation. And let me just say it plain, beloved, it's hard for me as your pastor and hard for your elders to get to know you when you're not around. When you don't come to worship, you don't come to the Bible studies, you don't come to the fellowship meals, we don't see you. It's hard to get a grip on that, isn't it? That's grieving to the soul. It almost seems like it's the people who are running away from the things of God, showing up occasionally and darting out the door, and you can't get to them. You can't talk to them. You call them, they don't respond. That's a grief, that's a groaning, that's what he means here. It's a groaning in the soul. One of the things that I've done over the years with regards to home visitation. Now, make no mistake, like I said before, we will be coming and visiting you in your homes, me and one elder. And one of the things that has grieved me over the years is that I divide up the membership and amongst the elders. And when elders would read that particular list, not in this congregation, but it may have been, but I didn't hear it. But in one particular congregation, I divided up, gave it to the elders, and as soon as one guy read the people that were on his list, he went, oh. I'll give you three of these for one of those. That should not be. I've had problems over the years with those who would serve as elders. And I remember men saying to me, no, I'm not going to serve as an elder again. And I asked the question, why? And the man says, because I know how they treat the elders. Beloved, that should not be so. That's a groan right there. And when an elder and a pastor groans at the mention of your name, that's unprofitable for you. If you walk in the spirit of rebellion against the church of Jesus Christ, against Christ's rulership in the church, that is unprofitable for you. Discipline is coming, and you initiate that discipline. You step out of the way, discipline is coming. The elders are coming. Why? Because they watch out for your soul. And that's the way it should be. And the writer of Hebrews says, let them do it with joy. What a joy. What a blessing it is that brothers can dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that runs down the beard of Aaron. It's pleasant. And this is what the writer of the Hebrews says. Remember those who rule. Follow their faith. Consider the outcome of the conduct. He says, obey those who rule. Be submissive. For elders, you watch for the souls of the people. But to do it with joy, not with grief. So that there might be a great profitability in the church of Jesus Christ. That's the calling that we have, both as members, as office bearers of the church of Jesus Christ. Let us be those that walk in submission for the glory of the King who has redeemed us and called us to this work. Amen.